Welcome to the City of Refuge Summer Series. This summer, we're exploring the Psalms at the intersection of theology, worship, and music. I'm Nikki, and I'm the Worship Director at the City of Refuge Church.
And I'm Brandon, the Equipping Pastor at City of Refuge. This week, we are looking at Psalm 127, one of the Psalms of Ascent. We'll be listening to a selection called Unless the Lord the House Shall Build by the Welcome Wagon. We begin with the text of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. All right, so we've got a very different psalm this week than what we have looked at.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of the things I love about the psalms is there is just a huge variety among them in terms of content and theme. So we have here what are one of the Psalms of Ascent, as I said earlier, and these were psalms that were written for the festivals that they would have, for instance, Passover, where people would have to journey to Jerusalem. And as you're going to Jerusalem, you are going uphill a good part of the way because Jerusalem is set up on a mountain. And so these were psalms that were written for these pilgrimages.
For the ascent.
For the ascent, yes. So I was drawn to this psalm to talk about it for two reasons. One is the song that we're looking at today, which is by the Welcome Wagon. As I said earlier, it's called Unless the Lord the House Shall Build. And it was actually sort of my introduction to this psalm. I'm sure I had read it before, but it was actually the song that brought it to my attention for the first time.
Oh, okay.
So.
And it's such an interesting song.
Yes. Yeah, it's so the song, I guess we can start there because kind of in my journey with the psalm, that's where it began. This group is the Welcome Wagon.
Yes.
And they are in kind of Sufjan Stevens' creative circle. This song comes off their debut album called Welcome to the Welcome Wagon, which Sufjan Stevens produced. If you're familiar with his music, his hands are all over this album. Like, you can hear his styling.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious, just what was your, because I was the one that brought this to the table.
Yes.
I was honestly a little surprised you agreed to talk about it because it is a little bit off the beaten path. So I was just kind of curious, what was your initial reaction to this song?
My initial reaction was like, oh, that's different.
Yeah.
Oh, that's different. And it is. It's just very different, especially when we talk about just in general music today.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like Christian music today, but music today is incredibly different. And when we're talking about Christian music today, it's absolutely completely different. Like, it's not even just like, oh, okay, that's different. No, it's so on the opposite end of the spectrum for today's Christian music.
Yeah.
So the first thing that popped out was, one, this is different. And number two was, this is an incredibly unique instrumentation.
Yeah.
We don't hear in today's music. There's like banjos in there. There's a there's some horns in there. There's like, I think some steel guitar in there as well. Like, there's just, and there's a little choir in there as well. Yeah. There's just so many layers to it.
Yeah.
But then as I kept listening to it, and I've kept listening to it, I really feel they've done a good job of bringing this text to life.
Yeah.
Because it starts off kind of like it almost feels like just the marchiness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, we're marching off to work. We're getting work done. And then here comes the interruption of scripture, really, because it's straight scripture. There's no repetition of anything. There isn't any added chorus or artistic arrangement of scripture. It's
right.
Straight scripture.
Yeah.
Alas, the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Alas, the Lord the city shield, the guards a useless watch maintain.
So here comes, you're marching along, doing what you got to do, and then scripture comes in and just kind of puts a pause on it and brings another, a different layer to the way that you would work. That's how I listened to the song. And, yeah, just the hopefulness that it ends with, too, with that major chord mm-hmm. that just kind of comes out of nowhere. It's literally like, oh, okay. But it really, it gives that feel. I think it just solidifies the hope that we have.
Yeah.
Because working in vain is hopeless.
Yeah.
And to know that the Lord is building everything around us, not like he's our provider, he's our supplier, he's our builder.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it just everything much more hopeful and gleeful. And that's literally how the song ends for me.
Yes.
Very gleeful.
Yes, it's got that the outro
yeah.
that you hear is you've listened to Sufjan Stevens, like it's very much in his style. Like
yeah.
That's the way a lot of his songs kind of fading out with that major chord. But yeah, I think it is interesting, the style of the music, because, I mean, really the whole album does this mm-hmm. in various ways, but this song in particular kind of harkens back to almost the Salvation Army band sound,
yeah.
which is definitely not something that you hear a lot in modern Christian music. So it's interesting that it's on the one hand, like that it's very much a throwback to a much earlier period, musically a much earlier period in the church. And yet there's also all of these elements of it that are modern in terms of the chord structures and even some of the instrumentation. You know, it's both imitation as well as something new. And I think that, it was some of the differentness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And even the fact that it was a little bit of a throwback that mm-hmm. in some ways allowed me to hear the psalm. I honestly think that if this had just been couched in sort of a, you know, kind of typical contemporary Christian kind of setting, even if they
yeah.
just used the text of the psalm, I don't think it would have grabbed me in the same way. Because there was something about it was like, even though I knew it was new, it was almost like because it sounded old,
yeah.
I was able to hear it differently.
There's something about the unfamiliar that jars us out of our comfort zone,
yeah,
right, and not only gets us out of our comfort zone, but puts us in a posture of learning that automatically gives us a humble attitude about it, right? Because,
yeah.
I mean, if it's something we know, we're like, all right, I got this. Ain't nothing to worry about. I don't got to focus on certain things. I'm just going to listen to it. Like, just, like, and when we say listen, like, not really listen. It's just noise.
Yeah.
That's just as an aside. That's why I love multicultural worship, because when we're stuck into something that's unfamiliar to us, it like jars us.
Yeah.
We're put in a position of what is happening here, and we experience God in a completely new way, in his scripture, in mm-hmm. refreshing ways.
Yeah.
And I think this is just a very good example of that. And because this is its own culture, right?
Yes.
This is absolutely its own culture. It definitely does that. You're forced to listen to the lyric.
Yes.
Because it's not, there isn't a verse, chorus, a bridge. We're going to repeat the bridge right. 10 million times and then go back to the chorus and try to get out of the song. It's, and I don't mean that in any kind of ugly way. I mean, I love that music. I love it.
Yeah, but it is what you hear all the time.
Exactly.
Yes.
With this through composed aspect of this song, like you're forced to listen to the lyrics because then it's guiding you to where the song ends up going.
Yeah.
So, and I just think that's just so refreshing to today's music. I saw this quote. I really like this whole thing here. But I want to take something out of it in regards to the Welcome Wagon.
Okay.
In this particular album. It says, armed with a particle board parlor guitar and a plastic glockenspiel, pastor and wife stumble their way through an arresting catalog of hymns, hallowed and unholy, with a simple desire to know their maker and to know each other more intimately. And you just see that reflected in this. I mean, if you listen to the other songs on their album, but this song especially, it's so simple. When you tear back the layers of all of the added Sufjan Stevens-esque-ness, you just listen to the melody and the basic chord structures of it. It's so simple, and there's an intimacy that's there.
Yes.
That even with all the added extra production efforts, it still seeps through.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the things that I really appreciate about their music, and really even Sufjan Stevens' music, is there's, I think, an authenticity there. Even to the point that in some of the songs you can hear where probably someone made a mistake, like you hear a squeak in an instrument or something like that,
and they'll
leave it in. It's like there's a little bit of a respect for the performance itself, which I like. And I think it adds to that sense of intimacy that these are real people making real music. Not that other music isn't that way, but there is something there.
There's
different
and especially when we're talking about the Psalms being put to music.
Yeah,
right. The Psalms are not only a vast array of themes and theology, just like in the Psalms itself, but it's a picture of imperfection, imperfect people, and their cry, earnest cry for closeness to the Lord.
Yeah.
And to hear songs like this that have imperfections in there set to a psalm text, I'm like, that's just fitting. It only makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the unpolished nature of the Psalms lends itself to an unpolished song.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was some of that aspect of it that intimacy, that in some ways the lack of polishedness, the desire for just kind of authenticity allowed me to hear it. And I remember the context in which I was listening to the song for the first time. It was when I was working as an engineer. I had a friend that I shared a cubicle with, and he introduced me to Sufjan Stevens, introduced me to this band, and I started listening to this album. And in particular, there's a song or a section of the song and psalm that gets at this issue of sleep. It's in verse 2. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. And there's actually a lot in the psalm that is a little confrontational.
Sure.
And that we can talk more about that, but like that was the one that got me first. That was the point that it hit me first, because it was a season in my life in which there was a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of what felt like toil in my life. There was a lot of late nights and trying to push for deadlines and things in that. And so in that context, this psalm coming and saying, this is vain.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Right?
What's the point of it all?
What, what are you doing about it? Because and the answer, I mean, like, what are you doing? Because, like, sleep and the peace of not pursuing anxious toil is what God is offering as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember in that season, I think that's one of the reasons the song really resonated with me, was because it was particular that part of it, that those words, he gives his beloved sleep. I remember just resonating with me at that time. And I think it's something that points out, there's actually a lot in the psalm that's pretty countercultural for us.
Yeah. Especially verse 3, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him, like arrows in the hands of the warrior, are the sons born in one's youth, right? It's like, we don't talk about this stuff anymore, right? Like, we don't really talk about, like, there are less and less people wanting children for one reason or another. And more often we see, even within the church, this this desire to want to have everything put together first.
Yeah.
And then, try to start a family. And that's completely counter this, what this psalm says. Like, you should have children in your youth. And all the things that you're wanting to have put together, God's going to take care of that.
Yeah, I think that gets at what it's like, something else that's pretty countercultural here, because I think that I like the phrase you use there, the, you know, wanting to have it all together, because I do think that is very culturally predominant, which, I mean, I understand that there's in every culture people desire to have it together.
Absolutely.
Right. But what does it mean to have it together? And I think this...
Somebody tell me, because I definitely do not.
Well, and I think there is this pervasive sense that if we can figure it out, if we can strive hard enough, if we can push hard enough, if we can organize enough, if we can have the right relationships, that we can get everything to work together. And into that, like, to hear the words, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. I mean, the psalm just points out the utter dependence that we have in the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
For result.
Yes.
And I don't think that undermines the need for us to strive. I mean, you can go read the Proverbs. It talks about the need for us to be diligent, the need for us to be hardworking and wise and all of that.
But it's when we're putting the trust
in
those things.
Yeah.
When we're putting the trust in our work, trust in our efforts, that's when it's not what God's heart is for us. Because clearly we can work.
Yeah.
We can strive for things and for certain dreams and aspirations. But when we put our hope in the work of that, we get all worked up. We get all worked up, and it's all in vain.
Yeah.
Because God's hand had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love how this psalm kind of goes for the jugular. Like, it hits you in the major. Like, it talks about, right, building your house, right? So it hits the home. It talks about watchmen watching over the city. It's at your safety, and it talks about, you know, going, rising up early, eating the bread of anxious toil, it hits your work, right? Homework and safety. And all of these, it says, if God isn't in it, if it isn't God ultimately doing it and making it successful, it's in vain. That is deeply humbling when you really, like, take that to heart. Like, and I think that's what I find most challenging in this psalm is the the state of complete dependence that this puts us in.
Right. Yeah. I think too, just as a woman reading this, there's just a different lens that I'm looking at or reading this with, because I'm like typically the man is the one that's working, the man is the one that's bringing in the bacon, the man is the one that kills the spiders that come into the house, you know, like, you know, our protector, right? Mm-hmm. But as a woman, I'm reading this, and there are aspects of womanhood that we definitely strive for. We definitely work for and toil for and lose sleep over.
Mm-hmm.
And still, unless the Lord, the house shall build. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I think it hits differently, but in both of those, I think it's a deep challenge to be in a place of dependence. And I think from a male perspective, you feel like on the one hand you are called to be those things,
right? Yeah,
This is what I'm supposed to be providing. Like,
exactly. Yeah. I'm not saying that women don't provide.
Women don't protect, and
women don't do these things. That's obviously not what I'm saying.
Yeah, but yeah, I think you're right. I can see how for men and women it could hit differently based on sort of societal expectations and even our own expectations of ourselves.
Right.
And one of the things I love about this too is from a theological perspective, how this addresses so many issues. I mean, going back to the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Like I see some real ties here back to, you know, the fall happens with Adam and Eve, right? And one, they lose their home, right? They get kicked out of their home. They're now in a place of vulnerability. Their safety has been compromised. And their work is now toilsome, right? They're now tilling the ground, trying to make ends meet. And this is all a result of sin entering in.
And also even their like their offspring, like the comfort that they have in knowing that they will have children to take care of them when they are old and cannot take care of themselves anymore, right?
Yeah.
That comfort is
taken. Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, a particularly horrific way too.
Right.
With Cain and Abel. And so I think it's interesting to sort of contrast the psalm with that, right? That like, what's the answer to the fall, right? What's the answer to the loss of the home? What's the answer to loss of safety? What's the answer to this toil that we have? And our natural inclination is to strive harder, right? Better watchmen on the walls, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
And this puts you in that place of saying, no, you are still in a place of utter dependence on God. That's the answer to the fall.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good. That's good. Completed. Ooh, that's good, Brandon. Wee. Y'all didn't catch that. Back up a couple seconds. Listen that over again. Because that was good.
But yeah, you mentioned earlier. You mentioned earlier. The kind of the aspect of children, I think you kind of see that same tension here. You know, there's work in parenting, but it's still somewhat out of your control too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I am not a parent, but I look at my brother and I, right, and
how
the work that my parents put into raising us and raising us up in the ways of the Lord, and how absolutely opposite my brother and I are, right? And how we've each encountered the Lord in very different
ways.
Just another and to what God will do, only He can.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, just encourage that that our the answer to the fall is our utter dependency on God in every aspect of it. I mean, just again, just coming from a woman's perspective of not only as a provider, as protector, but even as someone, as the Lord is governing our, you know, our homes. Have that privilege of being mothers and wives, like we can do all we want.
Yeah.
But the Lord has will have his way.
Yeah. And I think my encouragement would be spend some time with the psalm. It's a short little psalm, and on the one hand it seems very simple.
Yeah.
But when you really dig into the implications of it, I think it hits on some pretty deep heart issues that a lot of us have, and that hits on a lot of the motivations that sometimes drive us towards really unhealthy ways of living. Trying to make a home in a particular way, trying to find safety in particular ways, trying to pursue anxious toil to make it, and I think there's a lot of wisdom that can come from just sitting with the scripture and seeing the ways it confronts your thinking and your heart.
Maybe you're listening to this today and you are overwhelmed with work, overwhelmed with family issues, overwhelmed with things not looking the way you would expect them to look like. Definitely read this psalm, study this psalm, and if you feel so inclined, reach out to anybody on staff at City of Refuge. Our email addresses are on our website, and we look forward to praying with you and for you.